Morning, everybody. I didn't expect to see so many faces this morning, but it's really good to see there are a lot of people interested. We all know agriculture has a lot of problems, and one of the problems that agriculture faces, apart from salinity and shortage of land, is damage to agricultural crops due to freeze. In this paper, which I onboard everybody on a Thursday morning with a lot of results and slides and statistics, because this is an ongoing project that we have, and this is a proposed model that we are working on, and I'll briefly take you through what we have been doing over the last couple of months on this. Briefly, we'll cover some introduction, objective, and the proposed system, and then we'll conclude with the conclusion that we have so far. For those of you who are already familiar with what freeze is basically when the water within the crop or within the plant, it freezes and basically ruptures the cell membrane and causes extensive damage to your crops based on whether it's a freeze condition or whether it's a frost condition. Depends on how low the temperature grows. And also with freeze, we might have various kinds of freeze, like radiation freeze, which is so-so, you can still manage, and then you have advection freeze. So we are trying to look at these issues and see if we can come up with some kind of a model to protect these. And our work was mainly derived from some other work that was already conducted at the University of Washington, UC Davis, and even University of Florida, where people looked at various means of looking at freeze damage. And my background is not agriculture, my background is computing. So when I looked at this system, I thought there is ways where you can optimize some of this work that people have done by adding instrumentation, automation on top of it, and make it viable and hopefully work. Lot of ways that people have dealt with freeze are, as you can break it down into two aspects, as active method of prevention or passive method of prevention. These are some of the list of passive method of prevention, like site selection, where even before you set up your orchard or a vineyard, you make sure you look at the historic data and say, okay, this is a good area for me, I'm not going to face any freeze or frost. That's one idea. Other methods are people have used heaters over the years, which is not very cost effective, but it still works. Another method that people have used, which is the driving force for our paper that we are going to go through, is irrigation. Irrigation, can you believe it, can even save frost or even freeze? Because water is a product which has amazing features. Like when you add water as irrigation to your crop, what it does is basically, even though you have freeze, you're using that water to further freeze that water on your crop. What that does is, when you have freeze event, the temperature goes below freezing. It goes as below as 20 Fahrenheit. But if you can freeze that water around your crop, you're maintaining that around 32, 30, or 30. That's still much higher than what the outside ambient temperature is going to be. And also what it does is, as 1 gram of water freezes, it releases 80 calories of heat. So that heat can help the plant in sustain that freeze. Other method that people have used are wind machines, but again, wind machines are sometimes successful, sometimes not. Depends on the inversion layer that you have, because with these freeze events, sometimes you have this inversion layer which can go as high as 5,000 feet. If you have inversion layer as high as 5,000 feet, which is mainly during advection freeze, you might not be able to use a wind machine. It works during radiation freeze, where your inversion layer is maximum at 200 feet. That's when it works. And then people have used fog also to just sort of create a greenhouse effect and sort of trap the radiation that's coming out of a soil and your plants to further help it. That's also like almost duplicating a greenhouse effect. We'll look at our study from California perspective. In California, we have freeze every 8 to 10 years. And we'll go back the last three freeze, the third one that we had, over, if you go back progressively in time, the 1990 freeze that we had in California almost devastated all the orchards we had. And most of this orchard had been plowed out after the freeze, and it was a cost determinant factor for the farmer, because the whole orchard had to be plowed out, they had to go in with new orchard. It was a loss of revenue, loss of work, and loss of supplies of food for people. And as I said, this led to a lot of losses for the growers as well as for the economy. Then we had a freeze in 1998. Again, as I said, in California, it happens every 8 to 10 years. Not for sure, but that's been the timeline if you go back the last three, because it happened in 1990, then it happened in 1998, then it happened in 2007. 1998 freeze damage had a comparatively less damage compared to 1990. And some of these may be attributed to some of the advances people have made since then. And then the recent freeze that we had in 2007 was again a devastating one, and USDA and the government estimate put the losses to be close to $1 billion. And it was all over California, spreading all over Central Valley, San Diego, Oxnard, and most of these areas. So what we feel that unless some drastic and remedial measures are found, that we'll keep facing all these damages over the years, and these not only affect, which I showed here in the figure, is mainly citrus, as you can see how leaf damage we have, and this is another plant which is all covered in ice, and the leaves have almost turned blue. You can have leaves damage, bud damage, or even you can have extensive stem damage when the orchard is lost. So we feel that unless extensive research is conducted and remediated, we might have more losses to come in future. So our overall objective, as I said, my background is computing and instrumentation. So looking at all this work and previous work that we did at our center, which is the Center for Irrigation Technology, we did some work in the past, mainly looking at vineyards, and that work was mainly done after 1990 freeze and 1997. Those were mainly done on vineyards, and what we felt going through all the work that was done in the past, traditional practices and all the work that people have done, we thought we could better remediate the situation by adding instrumentation and control, where we'll add in a lot of instrumentation which will help you look at variations like temperature, wind speed, pressure, humidity, and etc. So what we felt is the overall objective of research is to investigate the potential of a SCADA system. We don't necessarily have to use a SCADA system, but in this model we are using a SCADA system because it's one of the most powerful computer systems that you can use and override. SCADA in short is Supervisory Control and Data Equation System. It's basically a data logger with add-on controls where you can go in and change your parameters. To deliver irrigation water via microsprinklers / rotors, we have put the option for both because at this point we are still investigating which would be more beneficial. We are looking at the particle size because you have to remember when we use the sprinklers or rotors to deliver the water as irrigation water, our idea is to not to irrigate it during the freeze, but to freeze that water as it falls. And to give you more idea, let me show you the proposed system and then I can talk in detail. This is how we want to look at the proposed system. Let's consider this is your orchard. We'll have some of these micro sprinklers or rotors throughout the ground level because our idea is not to have an add-on system, but to have a system that can be used during regular practice for irrigation. And when the freeze comes, that same system can be used for freeze remediation. At this point, we are still investigating the potential of putting some additional sprinklers or rotors up on the crop canopy too. But studies have shown, and we also know that for trees like citrus, if we do that and it does form ice, it can get too heavy and also break the limbs and break the branches. So we are going to still look at the potential of how it's going to be. But nevertheless, even if we don't put those sprinklers or rotors or drippers up on the crop canopy, we're still going to have them on the ground. And if we can still save the main stem or the trunk, we can still save the orchard. So the whole idea is to have these for irrigation purposes, but how the irrigation is going to be done, how the water is going to be delivered, will be controlled by our SCADA system, which will be mainly driven by parameters like temperature, humidity, how much water flow is going, and also very important, the wind speed. Because water is good if you can freeze it. Because every time 1 gram of water freezes, it releases 80 calories of heat. But if you apply that water and it evaporates, it sucks in 620 calories of heat, which will further dip your temperature. So you might not be doing it good, you might be doing it even worse. Because our idea is to freeze 1 gram of water, not evaporate that 1 gram of water. And during freeze event, you can have wind speed from 2 miles per hour to 10, 12, 15 miles per hour. And wind speed can help evaporate that water because we are applying the water through these micro drips or rotors where the water is almost in a diffuse state. We want to apply the water in a diffuse state so that it freezes faster. But when the water is in such a diffuse state, it can also evaporate. That's why we want to add all this instrumentation coupled with sensors like temperature sensors, wind variation meters, wind direction, wind speed. Coupled with all this information, we'll control the irrigation. And the stage we are at right now is we are looking at various rotors, various sprinklers, looking at their particle size, how much drift it can cause with wind, and how much temperature variation it causes, and what are the factors that helps in freezing, or what are the factors it causes it to evaporate. So at this stage, we are still in the lab trying to look at various factors and trying to come up with the algorithm so that, because eventually, even if you have a computer to drive it, computer can only do what you ask it to do. So at this point, we are trying to derive the algorithm that will basically help us in optimizing the system. Briefly, I know most of the people are already aware of the system, but briefly why we chose micro-sprinkler or rotor, because the water will be in diffuse state, number one, and number two, you have to always remember, we are not trying to add another redundant system for the farmer or the grower. When there is no freeze or frost, the same system will be used to irrigate your crop in a more efficient way. So to add efficiency, rotor and sprinklers. And these rotors and sprinklers are also expected to improve yield and reduce water loss from drainage below the root zone during the normal practices. These systems help in increasing water use efficiency, as we all know, helps in nutrient leaching by matching water and fertilizer uptakes. In conclusion, for work that we have so far, we believe that passive methods are less costly, like you can have site selection. But nowadays, with changing environment, changing global scenario, even if you have site selection, you cannot be for sure, always sure that, hey, I have chosen this place, frost or freeze have never happened, but it can always do. But we know passive methods are less costly, but it can only provide you only with few degrees of protection. But on the other hand, active methods like wind machine, heater, can provide you with more degree of protection, between 5 to 6 degrees Fahrenheit. But what we believe the most ideal situation would be a combination of both the active and the passive method. And the active method can be further enhanced, especially by application irrigated water with automated and control system. That's all I have in this paper so far, or for all the work that we have done. Any questions, I'd be more than happy to take, if time permits. Yes, sir.
The Washington State, we have 12, 15 freeze events a year. We do this all the time. But one of the problems is that you can only turn on part of your irrigation system at a time because the physical infrastructure. So you have to choose what you're saving and what you're not, even if you're able to do that. The second thing is that with the 2007 freeze, within the range that you could have protected, or was it so cold that it wouldn't matter what you did?
Yeah. Because we know literature also provides that sometimes you have a worse freeze, nothing works, but then sometimes you have a moderate freeze where maybe some of these methods can go in and also help.
So were the major freezes in the zone of saving, or were they just walk away and go, see you later, no, there's nothing you can do?
So far, most of the work that came out of the Washington State, Florida, because I am naive in that area, because as I said, my background is computing. I did do a lot of literature study and stuff in this area, but for most of the studies and work that people have done and they have said is, some of those worst freeze so far people have said, let's walk out, there is no solution. But
I'm wondering if you're trying to build something for the
impossible. No, we are trying to go one step at a time, trying to see if the system, we can automate it, go that direction. If we see, yes, it works. Because our next aim is to basically have a combination system where we'll have this system to maybe use a heater first, dip it a little bit, and then go with this system to drop another 5-6 degrees. So it might be a combination of system. And as I said, just a study at this point. And I've talked to a lot of people, you know, while going through this, and they said maybe a combination or automation might be the solution, not necessarily the solution.
Okay.